1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo,
it's now a race against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
You know, it's
the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 20. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 41. Chance for snow tomorrow night.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The Wisconsin men's hockey team returns to the Kohl Center this weekend for its border battle with Minnesota. The top-ranked Gophers, idle last week, still enjoy a commanding lead atop the Big Ten standings. The Badgers stumbled twice at Michigan last weekend, 6-2 and 7-4, although freshman defenseman Tyson Jugnauth had maybe his best weekend in the Cardinal and White. It's also alumni weekend as we honor the national championship teams from 1973 and 1983. And head coach Tony Granato is standing by. We'll have him join us here in just a moment. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin women's hockey team drew over 14,000 fans at the Kohl Center last Friday night for their series opener against St. Cloud State. The 14,430, the second largest crowd ever to witness an NCAA women's hockey game behind the 2017 Fill the Kohl that drew a sellout crowd of over 15,000. Unfortunately, the Badger women lost 1-0, but they beat the Huskies on Saturday 3-2 at LeBron Arena. And now they travel along I-90-94 for a two-game set against Minnesota. And Mark Johnson will join us a little bit after 7:30. But Tony Granato now joins us here as Wisconsin prepares for Minnesota. And before we get to the Gophers and alumni weekend, let's just kind of recap Michigan. I know it was a tough one on Friday. It's a 6-2 final. It's 2-1 at the end of one period, though. Maybe not playing your best hockey, but you're still in the game at that point. And then what happened from there?
Well, I mean, Michigan was a team that was skating really well, and we were a team that was standing around watching them. I mean, that's pretty much it. We didn't play well. Friday start, I mean, Jared Mull, you know, gave up six on Friday, and I thought he was really good. And, I mean, that's hard to have happen. I mean, we had played such good defensive hockey pretty much the last month and a half, and we just were standing around watching and made lots of mistakes. And once they got rolling, they didn't stop. So Saturday's game in some ways was a little better. The compete part was better, a little bit, you know, less standing around, created a little bit more offensively. Mm-hmm. Had, you know, again, penalty problems that gave them a lot of momentum at different points of the game. So, you know, it was a weekend that we're disappointed. You know, at this point of the year, we thought, you know, with the way we played Michigan just a month ago, with the way we were playing, we thought we could go in there and have a real good opportunity to have some success, and that was not the case. So it's over, done with. You know, we got Minnesota coming. They're obviously even a better team with more skill and more speed. You know, we're going to have learned from what happened and have a smart week of practice, play smart in the game. We didn't play smart in either of the Michigan games, and, you know, use the excitement of having the alumni back and the championship teams back and getting a chance to play Minnesota. Yeah. And, you know, when bad things happen, you got to file them and throw them away, and you got to look forward and figure out how to get in the right frame of mind against your next opponent. So, you know, I don't want to dwell too much on the Michigan series. Obviously, we're going to have to watch a lot of clips and video this week to try to correct some of the mistakes moving into this weekend. But we really got to try to go out there, get excited about playing. It should be good crowds, should be obviously a lot of excitement with, you know, our 73 team back and pretty much in full participation. Well, they'll all have their jerseys on and be in the building, and the 83 team hopefully will have pretty good representation as well, and lots of other alumni back. So it's an exciting weekend to look forward to.
Yeah. As far as that Michigan series, and Notre Dame for that matter, you mentioned penalties. I think there were 14 against Michigan, and you had quite a few against Notre Dame too. I mean, your team hadn't been taking penalties.
We had
any penalties?
No, and part of it is when you're not skating well, you're reaching. That's part of it. The other part of it is we have to be physical, and you know, the Notre Dame in particular, there were some penalties there where they were physical penalties where you say, "What, man? Those are pretty good hits," and the way the league's been calling the hits, some of those turn into major penalties. And those were the two cases in LeMaster's situation. But you know, there's just, it's too many penalties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're frustrated and things aren't going well, you tend to get undisciplined. So that kind of was the case for what happened both of the Michigan games. Unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that if we're going to win and have a chance to win, you can't do it. And,
right.
And that's the perfect thing to look at when you look at the stats. I think we drew three. We had three power plays, and they had eight on Saturday. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. They're talented. And you give those skilled players that many times to go on the man advantage, you're probably not going to have success. And it certainly was the case.
Yeah. I tell you, the first period on Saturday was one of the craziest periods of hockey I've ever seen. There were seven goals, and actually eight. Charlie Stramel scored late in the first period, and it looked like it was a 5-3 deficit. Michigan challenged for contact to the head, and sure enough, they see that on video that Charlie had cross-checked a young man for Michigan, and then the goal's off the board, and boy, that can deflate you really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were still in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mosey played really, really good on Friday. Saturday, he's probably a bit tired or a couple plays in that game that I thought he could have played differently, but again, he gave us everything he had. But you know, I thought we were still in the game, and it made it 5-3 there. And then you go back, and you know, 15 seconds before the goal, you know, a guy cuts Charlie off. He tries to get around him and clips him a little bit in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly unintentional. It wasn't a vicious cross check.
No.
He was trying to pick, you know, trying to jump around him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like we said, those are the calls that our league has been instructed to make.
Mm-hmm.
If Michigan was smart on challenging it, took a goal off the board, gave him a 5-minute power play, which they did score on. So instead of being 5-3, it's now 6-2.
Right.
And you know, and then when you get a team like that that's got a bunch of skilled players that are supposed to score every game, they're just licking their chops going, okay, we got them, mm-hmm. you know, in a position where we can open it up as much as they want. And they did do that. I like the way we played the third period. That was the one thing I will say. I like the way we battled in the third period, stayed with it. The Tyson Jugnauth weekend was outstanding.
Yeah.
It's a positive sign for us. You know, I think he's shown signs of what he can give to us offensively early, you know, as the year has gone along. But to put it all together in a building like that with the way the games were going was really exciting to see. So that's a real positive. I think that was the positive of the weekend. And you know, there's a young defenseman that can score goals and help us offensively. So that was fun.
And he's only 18, 19 years old. Tyson had 3 goals and 4 points in the Michigan series. And you know, it's one thing to transition to college hockey as a 20-year-old. You know, I mean, you've had a lot of experience. When you're 18 and coming into the, we've seen it with Corson Kuhlman. We can go up and down the line. There's a learning curve.
You know, and there is for sure. And the thing for him, he's an undersized defenseman. He's mm-hmm. probably still only 165 pounds. So that physical part of the game, which is going to take some time for him to fill out and put some strength on, But I like how he plays. He sticks his nose in there. He understands that, you know, for him to have success, he has to be able to defend, to be on the ice. And so that commitment's been there. You know, there's times he gets beat and physically and stick battles that he might not win, but he's sticking his nose in there to try to be involved in it. And that's the progress that we've seen. And the other part is when things like that are harder defensively, you always think, man, oh, man, just stay with it offensively. Just keep, you know, finding ways to contribute offensively, and he's been able to do that. And I think that's the encouraging part. His confidence is coming, and you know, he's just going to continue to get better and better.
All right. Badgers home to play top-ranked Minnesota this weekend. Stripe out on Friday. UW is asking you to wear either red or white. Go to uwbadgers.com and find out what you should wear, depending on the section that you're sitting in the Kohl Center. And then Saturday, we're going to celebrate Alumni Weekend and the 50th anniversary of the 1973 championship team and the 40th anniversary of the 83 team, and we'll talk with Tony about those two clubs when we come back. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Hey Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
In Wisconsin, Badger hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning 6 championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check? Visit UW Health, the number one orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss? The number one hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Where can you find the best seats in the house on game day if you can't beat the actual game? Monk's Bar and Grill will always have you covered with more than 20 flat-screen TVs, great food options for every age, and an atmosphere that can't be beat for Badger fans. Outside of the stadium, it's the next best experience you can have on a Badger game day. With 6 locations throughout Wisconsin, Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Well, back in March of 1973, the Wisconsin men's hockey program captured its first national championship, went to the Boston Garden. Head coach Bob Johnson and the Badgers faced Cornell in the semifinals and trailed 4-0 midway through the second period, down 5-2 early in the third when Gary Winchester scored to make it 5-3. Jim Johansson scored with about 3 minutes left to make it. Jim Johnston made it 5-4 with about 3 minutes left to play. Tony's correcting me, and I appreciate that. Dean Talafis, not Pete, but Dean Talafis scored the game-tying goal with 5 seconds left in regulation. They go to overtime. Dean scores again with about 30 seconds left in OT. That was after Dick Perkins stopped a 2-on-0 breakaway in overtime. The Badgers then beat Denver in the national championship game 4-2. Timmy Duell, the captain, had the game-tying goal in the second. Dean Talafis scored the game winner in that game as well. First national championship for the Badgers 50 years ago. And most of those gentlemen will be here for Alumni Weekend this weekend. That is going to be awesome.
Awesome, special. It says a lot about their team and why they had so much success. I think the love and care and appreciation for one another and what they did with one another to accomplish what they did is still special for them. So, you know, you gave me the chills there just listening to you give me the recap of what happened versus Cornell and versus Denver. And you look at, you know, that group of players and Badger hockey was just getting going, and at that time, when you think about it, Badger Athletics was just in search of finding something to celebrate, and that team kind of gave us an identity. And okay, all of a sudden, Madison, Wisconsin is going to be known for its hockey program. The community supported it. The athletic department and athletic director at the time was really appreciative of and celebrated with them as much as the players did. And because, you know, it was one of those, you know, struggles where we were looking for something to get excited about here in Madison. And And that team provided it, and it gave the jump start to, you know, our hockey program to continue to find recruits and to do something really special. And the teams, you know, continued to win championships as we move forward. So that was really the key. And then what I really love about talking to those guys about that team, they give credit to the guys that were there the year before that had moved on what they did to set themselves up for success.
The 72 team was good too.
72 team was great.
Yeah.
But the guys that left and what they went through in that 72 team prepared them to be ready for being down 4-0 and 5-2 and not getting rattled and then facing a number one opponent the next night in Denver and knowing how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And they made the plays when the games were on the line. You talk about having character in your locker room and whatever, that team was filled with it. And, you know, there's two things that coaches and hockey teams always think about. You have to have character and you have to have characters. And that team had both. And if you look at, you know, what they meant for our university, for all of them, you know, with the exception of two guys showing up here in the middle of February to celebrate, you know, and come back and kind of just reenact and be able to
recreate, share everything.
Yeah, yeah. With you know, with the people that they did something special with is going to be really, really cool. So I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to hearing more stories. I've heard a lot already about the team, but somebody always comes up with a new one. And so they are certainly somebody that we should all pat on the backs, give them claps and hugs and celebrate with them this weekend to know how much their contributions have meant to our program.
Yeah, 50 years ago, the 1973 National Championship team, the first of six for the Wisconsin Badgers. And then 10 years later, now 40 years ago, the 1983 team captured the NCAA title in Grand Forks, beat Providence 2-0, and then Harvard 6-2. Mark Barron was the tournament MVP, Bruce Driver the team captain, Chris Chelios was on that club, Pat Flatley, Jeff Andringa, Jacques De St. Fowl was on that team too. Matty now plays for you, and that was Jeff Sauer's first national championship. And I know, you know, you had committed to Wisconsin by that time. Yeah. You were planning on being a Badger the following year after a national championship, right?
Yep. I had an opportunity, which is kind of funny. We think we've talked about this before, where Badger Bob wanted me to come in a year early and graduate early and come in and be on that team. I said, as I look back, I don't think I would have been able to play on that team. So going back for another year of prep school was probably the right idea. And also, too, I mean, just watching that team, knowing that I was coming in, so I got to, you know, see enough of their games. Saw them play in Providence. Mm-hmm. Saw a couple of the other games during the year on the recruiting trips. Just a fabulous team to watch. You could see, you know, what Flatley and Chelios and Driver and lots of others did as far as being leaders and taking control of that locker room and team and finding a way to become national champions. Very special. So we'll celebrate that one, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And as we should, there won't be quite as many players from that squad back this weekend because of previous commitments. But that's still a team, again, we should celebrate and be proud of. And again, let them know how special they were.
Yeah, character and characters on that team,
that's
too,
for
weren't
sure
there?
Too. Yeah. Every winning team has both.
Right.
No matter what, you know, you have to have it. Mm-hmm. You mean, the part that I always, when you look at championship teams, there's always a key piece or a glue guy or somebody that they can rally around. And I look at, I hear Timmy Duell stories. I hear Dean Talfa stories.
Sure.
I hear probably about 15 other stories from the guys on the 73 team. And then the 83 team, which, you know, you got Chelios and Flatley for me. That's your meat and potatoes and your grinders and your workers, and your competitors and guys that won't lose puck battles and they'll do anything they can to win. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from those two in particular, but as well as the rest of that team as well on what it takes to be a winner and what it takes to compete at that level.
Yeah. Fans, we'd love to see you at the Kohl Center on Saturday as we celebrate the 40th and 50th anniversaries of two national championship teams. I also know that during the game on Saturday here, the Rob Andringa Alumni Award, the first in program history, will be officially presented to Jeff Roach, who has done so much for your hockey program.
He has. I mean, you look at, he was part of that, all that middle of the 70s teams as a player and coach as well. But he's been very active on keeping involved in the program. you know, and he's got sensational stories, you know, from when he was here, but also he's been kept in touch with lots of the players that have played since he was gone. And, the Robin Dringa Award, which we created last year, there was a perfect, you know, person out there for Jeff to be the first recipient. So Doc and Dringa will be here, Jack will be here, the Dringa family will be here to present that. I think that's a really special part of what this weekend's all about.
For sure. Again, that's Saturday. Get your tickets at uwbadgers.com. The Gophers are in town, the top-ranked team in the country. We've got about a minute or so left. And you mentioned a moment ago that Minnesota is better than Michigan, if I heard you correctly. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? I mean, yeah? More experience. Just more experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Michigan is still learning a little bit about themselves. I think they're starting to hit stride now.
They're the youngest team in the country.
You know, I think, you know, Minnesota has, you know, four lines that all know what they're supposed to do night in and night out. Mm-hmm. So very consistent on their performance. And they get a lot of guys that, you know, should be in the NHL that decided to come back for an additional year.
Mm-hmm. And including a handful of guys on the blue line. I mean, their defensive core might be the best in the country.
Yeah. And yeah. Then, and you know, and you looked at the end of last year, you say, wow, he's going to sign. Well, he's probably going to sign too, and he's going to sign too, you know. Right. And next thing you know, well, they decided they're all going to stay and come back and try to win a national championship. So they're loaded with talent. You know, for the important thing for us is to learn from what just happened at Michigan. We can't stand around and watch them. We got to play. We got to get on the forecheck. We got to play them hard. We got to play them being on our toes. You're not going to sit back and defend and think you're going to win a game 1-0 by just, you know, slowing the game down and hoping. We got to go out and create some things offensively. We got to make their high-end skilled D have to go back for pucks. We got to be physical on them. You know, there's some good things we can do offensively, and we did a lot of good things offensively against Michigan, and we're going to have to do the same thing but tighten up in our own end.
All right. Well, good luck. It should be fun. I mean, anytime the top-ranked team comes to town, but they're also the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and I'm sure that gets your blood going bit too.
For sure it does. I mean, everybody that comes here and plays at Wisconsin knows of the rivalry with Minnesota. We got enough Minnesota kids in our locker room that had opportunities to go to Minnesota. So these are in big games in their career and big moments for them to you know, rally around. And the building should be exciting with all the alumni activities. The Gophers are in town. So looking forward to the challenges and, you know, just do everything we can this week to give ourselves a chance to have a good weekend and put ourselves in position to win.
Yeah, because the playoffs are coming pretty
quick.
They're
coming fast.
Yes, they are. Thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you, Brian.
Sure, that's Badgers head coach Tony Granato. Again, Wisconsin and Minnesota, Friday, 7 o'clock, Saturday, 5 o'clock, both on the Badgers Sports Network. We'll be back in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 20. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 41. Chance for snow tomorrow night. Lows around 28. Cloudy skies expected. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Well, just three weekends left in the Big Ten regular season, and Minnesota has a 13-point lead atop the conference standings with Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State all tied for second place at 30 points. Only the Wolverines and Buckeyes can catch the Golden Gophers, who can actually clinch the regular season conference crown with a win Friday night here in Madison and losses by Michigan to Michigan State and Ohio State to Notre Dame. This weekend, again, the Buckeyes visit the Irish, and the Wolverines play in East Lansing. The second game of that series will be played at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. The Wisconsin Badgers, they've got some young players on their squad that seem to be getting better as things move along, including Jack Horbach. You know, I know I'm old when I'm calling games of the sons of friends of mine I called games for when I was in college. Jack Horbach's one of them. Let's hear from the freshman forward from Naperville, Illinois.
Well, Jack grew up in Naperville, Illinois, played for the Chicago Mission. His family, his dad, Bill Horbach, is from Naperville and actually won a few national championships at the Division III level at my alma mater, UW-Stevens Point. Went back and looked at his stats. They weren't that glowing, were they, Jack?
Nah, he was just along for the ride, so like he wasn't much of an impact player there. So I hope he hears this one day and comes at me for it, so that'll be good.
He will soon. He will soon. But he must have had an impact on you, getting you involved in the sport.
No, not really. It was actually my mom that wanted me to play. He really didn't want me to play.
Really?
It was more of my mom that pushed for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it was like back then, but he just really didn't want me to play. But now he's along for the ride, and he's happy I am. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you're happy, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled about it. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time with the Mission, and you got a lot of eyeballs on you there, too. I suppose even as a youngster, when you're going through that level of hockey, you know when there are college coaches kind of sniffing around, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's for sure. And especially with him helping me through the process, it was awesome to have him there. So it was like, it wasn't like too worrisome about it. It was just kind of go out there and play your game and see what happens about it.
Yeah. You went from the Mission to the Capitals. You played a few games, and then the following year you played an entire season with the Madison Capitals. And then you went to Lincoln for a year, and then you went back to the Madison Capitals. You know, it's junior hockey. You wouldn't think there'd be a lot of transition at that level, but that happens all the time, doesn't it? And what was it like for you?
My first year in Madison was awesome. Although we weren't good, the team we had and the like camaraderie we had with each other was awesome. So like we were really close, and everyone still talks to each other to this day, but it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next year, we didn't really have a team because of COVID and everything. Right. So I kind of got like traded kind of to Lincoln, but then my rights were still with the Capitals. So it was tough in Lincoln because I had to play defense the whole year, but it was good like getting through that experience. But now back last year at the Capitals, that was one of my best years ever. And like the team we have was awesome. We almost won it all. So it was just a great experience overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe when you have a season canceled and then the next year you come back. Tommy Upton was your head coach and he leads you to the Clark Cup Finals. I don't think anybody expected that. How about you, Ben Dexheimer, and others on that team?
Oh, it was awesome. We didn't expect it at all. We were just there ready to have fun and be kind of underdogs all season, show everyone what we got. That was kind of our memo, was proving everyone wrong kind of and showing them what we were made of, and it doesn't matter that we didn't have a good year. And that coaching staff really helped us throughout the whole thing too.
Yeah, you could utilize that here, couldn't you?
Oh yeah,
with what's going on right now.
Oh
right?
Yeah, underdog mentality, love it.
Yeah,
wouldn't have it any other way.
An underdog mentality for the Badgers, who take on the top-ranked team in the country this weekend, Minnesota, here at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Wisconsin women's hockey team also plays Minnesota this weekend. This one, this series, in Minneapolis. And we'll hear from head coach Mark Johnson next. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
In Wisconsin, Badger hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning 6 championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check. Visit UW Health, the number one orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss. The number one hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers@clearybuilding.com.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bedroom too hot, basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The Wisconsin women's hockey team hits the road for the final time this regular season, traveling west to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers on Friday night at 6 o'clock and then Saturday night at 7:30. The 6 o'clock game you can watch on Valley Sports North Extra. The Saturday game is on the Big Ten Network. And joining us now is head coach Mark Johnson. Love to see your games televised when I can't be there. So yeah. That's cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Easy access and exposure, and going to be 2 great hockey games. So it'll be
fun to be, you know, participating. And, you know, at this time of the year, you know, to go against real stiff competition, I think is good for both squads as we, you know, aren't too far from the playoffs.
Yeah, they're coming up. Just two weekends left in the regular season. Last weekend, you had quite an event here at the Kohl Center on Friday night. You filled the Kohl, filled the bowl. You drew over 14,000 fans, 14,430, a second largest crowd to see a women's collegiate hockey game. Of course, your club set the record back in 2017 with a sellout here. So what was that experience like? I know you'd rather have the W. It didn't work out that way. But, you know, when the kids are taking the ice and just the whole atmosphere, I'm sure it was awesome.
It was. Wonderful, you know, when you step back and, you know, see what a special night it was and the willingness of our fans to come out and support the event, I think it really makes it special. When I came on the ice to the start of the game and making my way to the bench, and you start looking around, you look at the Jumbotron, you see our players up on the Jumbotron, the introduction and all the kids coming out onto the ice and holding the flag for the national anthem. I mean, you don't get those very often, and we're fortunate we've had a few of them, but this one was special for, you know, the players, for the players' families, and, you know, for the whole athletic department and our fans willing to come out and, and showcase themselves as supporters of women's hockey. So it was a great night. As I mentioned before we came on the air, was we threw this big party. Everybody came, and then we forgot to bring the main ingredient. That was goals. We did get the one, but they disallowed it. But we got you got a feel of what it was going to be like if we ended up scoring, you know, multiple goals. And because the crowd was energized, you could feel that on the bench. We had a great student section. They were just waiting for something to happen. And unfortunately, you know, they blocked enough shots, and their goalie made enough saves to earn a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, 1-0 the final on Friday. Badgers outshot the St. Cloud State Huskies 39-15. Just couldn't get that one past their netminder. 32 shot blocks for St. Cloud, too. That's pretty good. But I know in the first period, there was a 4-on-4 sequence, and I know that they were able to score a goal during that. You had a goal disallowed, as you mentioned a moment ago. Take us through those two instances.
They challenged the review of it. They thought it was offsides, and so they go to the monitor, and, you know, generally you might see or maybe not see, you know, if it was actually offsides, but they had enough footage and enough, you know, slow it down. You know, the puck, you know, wasn't in and the foot was over the line, so it was offsides. And you know, then we looked like we were going to go on a power play 4 or 5 minutes later, and we get called for too many players on the ice, and I'm sort of shaking my head because I didn't see it. It didn't happen. So, because, you know, there's sometimes confusion. Now your goalie's coming to the bench, and now you're going to put a player out, and I'm always yelling, make sure the goalie's here before you go on the ice. And we thought it was, but the linesman, you can't dispute it. She's going to call it, and they're going to call it. I mean, and so, you know, we find out later that, no, it was a bad call, and she admitted to it, which is good to see. But, you know, it cost us a 4-on-4 instead of a power play. And as we saw in the game, you know, 15 seconds after they dropped the puck's in the back of our net. But we played well enough to win. We obviously didn't get enough pucks to the net. You know, they blocked the shots. And sometimes in our game, when the team that you're playing against scores, and one of the ways they can win the game is by defending. And so, you know, they take away scoring areas. They block shots. They give an opportunity for a goaltender to see the puck most of the game. And they did a real nice job of that, especially in the third period. They started to clamp down and really make it difficult for us to get pucks in the scoring area. And, you know, we pulled our goalie. The crowd was on their feet. The noise was getting louder. And, you know, we had a couple of real good looks, and, you know, we weren't able to do it. Because if we were able to score, especially in the last minute or minute and a half, I mean, it really would have exploded. So, but again, when you step away and I'm driving home, you know, we don't get opportunities like we saw here Friday night. And it's a tribute to our fans and the community and the state for coming out and showing us their willingness to watch women's hockey and bringing energy to a building and experience to our players and their families that they may never get again.
Yeah, you think about how special the University of Wisconsin is for women's athletics. I mean, your squad draws over 14,000. Volleyball at the Kohl Center in September drew over 15,000, 16,000 actually. Women's basketball had a crowd over 8,000 this year. I mean, that's saying something about the passion for sports at Wisconsin, men's or women's, really.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's the community, it's the state, it's our management people, it's the Motion W, and you know, it really is a college town. And so if your product is something that people enjoy coming out and watching, and you put on some special events, whether it's an outdoor game or whether it's Fill the Kohl or some of the other special events that we've been able to put on over the course of time, our people are willing to come out. And It's an appreciation that we have, and I know our players and the families that were in attendance. Again, they're not going to see their daughter probably in that type of venue. So somebody told me of all the college games, men or women, that was the biggest crowd of the season. Hmm. You know, Friday night here at the Kohl Center watching Wisconsin play St. Cloud in a women's hockey game. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty neat. I know after the game on Friday, you thought that the first goal on Saturday would dictate the results of that game, and you're playing at LeBron Arena, another sellout crowd, I think the 11th or 12th this year in your building, your normal home, and sure enough, St. Cloud scores first, but you didn't let it affect you, and you were able to bounce back. You scored two quickies, Jesse Compher and K.K. Harvey, you're up 2-1, then you had to hang on, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a you know, a nerve-wracking finish, but you know, that's why we play the game. You never know what's going to happen, and we've seen a lot of goofy things happen within a game, and we saw something that you normally don't see at the end of the game Saturday. But yeah, we wanted to jump out early, try to see if we can get the first goal. Again, it on the women's side, it just creates energy for you, and it puts the team you're playing against a little bit on their heels. Mm-hmm. And so we had a quick turnover, and girl makes a shot, and all of a sudden you're down 1-0. And one of the themes going into Saturday's game was try to get more traffic in front of the net, try to get pucks through to the net, and create maybe second and third opportunities. And the first goal we scored, the puck gets through from the defenseman. Now there's a tip in by Jesse Conver. Where's she standing? Right near the blue paint. And so that's what we were talking about. We did that. It makes it 1-1. And then KK gets an opportunity again, get the puck through. What went through went all the way into the net. And so a couple of things we had talked about and wanted to see in Saturday's game, the first two goals were that. Mm-hmm. And so then again, we're up 2-1. Now we've relaxed a little bit. And then we had a great goal from Layla in the second period after the goaltender had made a couple, one on Casey O'Brien that I still don't know how she stopped. But it was a good victory, and then we had a goofy situation at the end, shorthanded goal we gave up. But we did what we needed, to preserve the victory and leave the rink feeling good about ourselves as we prepare for, the two up in Minnesota and the two back here against Ohio State.
Yeah. Jesse Compher had a goal and two assists on Saturday. You thought one of the best games she's played for the Badgers.
It was, and so sometimes when you don't score and you're not contributing on the score sheet, you get frustrated with your game, and I know she was sort of in that space. And Saturday it was like, I'm on a mission. I want the puck, I want to keep the puck, and I'm going to do whatever, I'm going to play physical, I'm going to do the things I'm capable of doing, and I might score, but I'm going to play hard. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play really hard. I've had enough of this. And she was our best forward in Saturday's game, scored a big first goal for us, set up a couple others, but played every shift like it was her last shift of hockey.
Yeah.
And, that's what we're going to need down the stretch here.
Yeah. And I believe Jesse was playing Saturday with Layla Edwards. Yep. And Britta Curl. Is that right?
Yeah. We made a couple.
That's quite a line right there. That's a powerful line, Mark.
Yeah. We got a glimpse of him up at St. Thomas, and Layla scored a goal up there. And then, I played in the last 5 or 7 minutes together in Friday's game. And then, it's like we haven't scored and we're not scoring, as much as we'd like to. We need a couple changes. So we put Layla up there, and she had one of her better weekends of the season where she, for 60 minutes competed, played at a high level, got rewarded, probably could have scored a couple more goals. And then, we took Claire Enright. Mm-hmm. And put her on the left side with Sims and Eden. I thought she played a very strong game. And so a couple little twinks, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it certainly helped us Saturday.
Yeah, Badgers won that game 3-2. Again, two weekends left in the regular season. Minnesota currently leads the WCHA, is that right?
Yep.
By 2 points over Ohio State, and then Wisconsin's got 53 points. Still have a chance to win the league title, but you got to win and probably get some help. You're going to Minnesota. The Gophers and the Buckeyes played a whale of a series at Ritter Arena last weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, they, you're two high-profile teams, a lot of veteran players on both sides of the puck, and so, I watched the games already this morning, and entertaining. They had some really good crowds over the weekend, and I'm sure it's going to be the same way when we go up this upcoming weekend. But you can tell it's late in the season. Mm-hmm. Teams are dialing in, players are focusing in every shift, and the end result is you're gonna have to play real well to win these hockey games, whether you're Minnesota, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Duluth. I mean, it's that time of year, and our league's as strong as it's ever been. You see Mankato, they lost in overtime and then ended up tying Duluth,
right?
St. Cloud beat us, and so it's going to be a wild play. playoffs.
Yeah, and you've got to get to the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, right now in the pairwise rankings, I think you're eighth. You've got a couple of wins. I mean, you're playing Minnesota and Ohio State to close. If you can win a couple or three, four games, I mean, you're going to set yourself up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's late in the year. You know, you got 2 weekends left, and you're playing meaningful games. And so that puts you in a good position. And now your opportunities in front of you, are you going to go take advantage of those opportunities? That's what we look forward to this weekend.
All right. Again, the Wisconsin women playing at Minnesota Friday night at 6 o'clock Central on Valley Sports North Extra, and then Saturday at 7:30 on the Big Ten Network. That's actually a hockey doubleheader on BTN because the Badger men will be hosting Minnesota Saturday at 5 o'clock before the women skate against the Gophers. Hey, before I let you go...
Hey, I want to know if you want to flip times. We'll start up there at 5, and you guys start here at 7:30.
Actually, what do
you
think? I do like the 5 o'clock Saturday starts. I do. Or on, especially on the road. You know,
road
could you
team,
get home a little bit earlier?
Yeah, we're going to get home about 2:33 in the morning Saturday night.
I can't help you with that. I'm sorry.
Come
I can't
on.
Help
you.
Remember
any pull?
Yeah, I have absolutely no pull, Mark. No pull. Hey, before I let you go, this weekend at the Kohl Center, the Wisconsin men's hockey team is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Badgers' first NCAA championship team in 1973. Your dad was the head coach. Tim Dool was the captain. They played the Frozen Four at the Boston Garden. And Dean Talafis was the tournament MVP, scored the game-tying goal against Cornell with, 5 seconds left, scored in overtime, then scores the game winner the next night as well and to beat Denver. And Wisconsin wins its first national championship. You weren't on that team at the time, but I know you had a vested interest with your dad on the bench.
Yeah, we were interested. And, you know, they were down 4-0 to Cornell in that semifinal game and somehow made their way back. And, and Dean tied it with 5 seconds to go. And as you mentioned, wins it in overtime. And then you look at Denver's team that year. And I remember talking with Peter McNabb when I was his teammate in New Jersey of how good their team was and how focused and dialed in about winning a national championship. And they thought they, you know, had the best team. And I think overall they probably were the best team. And he was still ranting and raving and mad because Wisconsin had ended up beating them 4-2 and, you know, winning their first national championship game. And so I was a stick boy at the time hanging around and know a lot of those guys. And it's great. I hear a lot of them are coming back, if not all of them. And so it'll be a great night for them. And obviously they're going to see some great hockey because you got, you know, the number one team in the country in Minnesota coming in. And hopefully the Kohl Center will be packed and there'll be a lot of energy in the building. And a wonderful weekend to recognize those teams that they will be bringing in.
Yeah. So how old were you in 1973, March of 73?
That would be 15.
15 years old.
14.
14 years old.
Yeah.
So how did the Johnson family celebrate that national championship?
Well, we didn't travel. We weren't out in Boston at the game. So, you know, you're either on the radio or seeing highlights, on the sports channels. But I remember when they came back, and I think my dad had his red blazer on and his red cowboy hat and this gigantic smile because, I think the year before they had a pretty good squad. But, they were still relatively new to college hockey. I mean, you know, my dad had came in the late 60s and, you know, got involved with the WCHA and started to beat Minnesota and take some of the recruits away out of Minnesota. And so you start this rivalry and then, you know, you get yourself in a position to go to the national tournament. And then, you know, the first game you're down 4-0. It's like, oh boy, this is going to be a lot of fun. And then miraculously they came back. And one thing I recognized was the Badger fans. We talked about the willingness to come out and fill the Kohl and do things that we have done the last 5 or 10 years, but they traveled well for hockey back then. So there was a lot of people at Boston Garden celebrating after the game. And I remember in 77 when we won it my freshman year, you know, our championship game against Michigan, half the stadium was, you know, 8,500 had Michigan fans. The other 8,500 were Wisconsin fans and the celebration we had that weekend with our Badger fans. So it'll be a great weekend and it's nice that they're going to get recognized.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Who was your favorite player on that 73 team?
Well, I mean, everybody looks at, you know, Talafist and, he was the guy. I mean, anytime you score 5 seconds ago, you win in overtime and then you score next, you know, he became sort of a household name from Minnesota and whatnot. Because back then and last week, unfortunately, you know, the hockey world lost Bobby Hull, who was another guy that, you know, in my era, being in Madison and Wisconsin, you know, with the Blackhawks down there and, you know, Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita and some of the players, those are the players we related to. And so, you know, Dean was probably the one guy that, because I like to score goals and watching him score goals at that level sort of planted a seed in my mind. Boy, It'd be fun to play for the Badgers and score some goals.
Dennis Olmstead was really good on
Dennis
that team
Olmstead
too,
was really
he?
Good. And, you know, you look at their makeup and their goaltending, and, you know, that's why they won the national championship. Yeah, they had a good squad.
Yeah, Dick Perkins was pretty good.
Yep.
I think of that overtime game against Cornell. Didn't he stop a 2-on-0 breakaway or something like that?
Yeah, he was a great athlete. And, you know, if you're a good athlete, I think of Jesse Vetter. She's a great athlete, became a great goalie. And Dick Perkins, no different. I mean, great baseball player. I mean, he was just a good athlete that became a real good goalie.
Sure. All right, so you got Minnesota. What are the keys up there?
Well, the key is going to be, you know, our ability to defend well. They're the highest scoring team in college hockey right now. They've got some weapons, and obviously they got confidence. So it's our ability to defend. And for most of the season, we've done a good job at that. Our goals against is low, and we're going to get challenged in that area. And then, you know, I think you can, counter that with a good forecheck. So we'll spend a little bit of time this week working on our forecheck and trying to play in the offensive zone instead of playing in the defensive zone. So that'll be one of our keys. And then it's that time of year where everybody's got to pull together. So it's like going into minefield right now, and you have to do it together. If you, drift off and you become separate or individualistic, somebody's going to run into a mine and blow everything up. So it's like coming together, honing in, and really focusing in on details of the game. And that's what we need to do to have success this weekend.
All right. Good luck against the Gophers.
Thank you.
Sure.
You too.
No, thank you very much. Mark Johnson, the Wisconsin women at Minnesota, Friday night at 6 on Bally Sports North Extra, and then Saturday at 7:30 on BTN. We'll wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Let's face it. Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good Again, the Wisconsin women at Minnesota Friday night at 6 and Saturday at 7:30. Good luck to Mark Johnson's squad. And the Badger men home to play Minnesota Friday night at 7 and Saturday at 5, both on the Badger Sports Network. My thanks to Tony Granato and Mark Johnson, as well as our producer, engineer, Dave McCann. I'm Brian Posick. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 20 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 41.